Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we have a split show. That means we have two shows in one, because there are two terrific community events coming up, and they will engage head, heart, and your body. The first event that we're going to be talking about is the Shively Park Cleanup, the chip-in program, from 1 to 4 p.m. this Sunday, July 13th. It's a great opportunity to come out with your family and receive your leather gloves and do some trail maintenance and work in that gorgeous location. And my guest this morning to talk about that is Janice Galizio. She is the volunteer coordinator for the Astoria Parks and Recreation, and that will be the first part of the program. The second part of our program will focus on the first ever Clatsop Community College event, A Tribute to the Columbia River, which is happening Friday, July 18th from 7 to 9 and Saturday, July 19th from 9 to 11 a.m. And my guest for that section of the program will be Robert McClelland. He is with Clatsop Community College as the director of the Talent Search and Upward Bound programs. And we also have in the studio Denise Laufman. She is the director of CREST. And she'll explain what that is. And she's also a speaker on Saturdays at Saturday's event. So two terrific things for us to do here in this Lower Columbia Pacific region. First, let's talk with Janice Galizio about Shively Park. Hi, Janice.
Hi there.
I'm glad you're here today.
Yes, thank you.
And just a brief something about yourself before we start talking about Shively Park.
Sure. I'm a native of Boston. I've lived in Oregon now for, I think, about 8 years. And I am the wife of the president of the college.
Clatsop Community College is a very important part of this community.
Absolutely.
And that was very nice of you to agree to share the program, which we had already
arranged
with Clatsop Community College about the tribute to the Columbia River. All right, Shively Park. What do people not know about Shively Park?
Well, it was created for the centennial celebration. In fact, it used to be called Centennial Park. And if everyone's that has read the Facebook page is waiting with bated breath for the answer to our trivia question that we posted. And the question was, who donated the exotic trees that we have at Shively? So there are beautiful spruce trees. There's one fantastic monkey puzzle tree and rhododendrons. And the answer is Ole Erickson, who actually had a big stretch of land in the Tapiola Park area, and there used to be an arboretum where he grew his trees, and his family still owns Erickson Florals.
Oh, that's great. So, all right, so the Facebook fans who wanted to know the answer to the trivia question have just now learned it on this program.
That's right. That's
Yay,
right.
Yay, Ole Erickson.
Ole Erickson.
Do they
actually win limited edition chip-in leather gloves.
Yay! All right. Well, congratulations to the winner. All right. So, Shively Park. For the centennial, it was really something.
Yes. And in fact, now, currently, there are these beautiful trees, and it's completely overgrown, and it gives this mysterious feel. But during the centennial celebration, it was completely clear-cut. And you could have these beautiful views of the Young's Bay River. And they had a complete replica of Fort Astoria built by John Wicks. There used to be a fountain there. And it was the replica of the fountain is actually now in Uniontown. They found that one abandoned in a field by the middle school.
Oh, I remember that story. Yes, yes, yes. Well, how many acres is Shively Park?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, but I know people, it's the trails are so important, but it has such a rich history because there was an amphitheater there. I mean, tell us about what was there and what's there now.
When they built the park, there was once a city zoo that had exotic birds and pheasants and a deer. And there was a 1,500-seater amphitheater, which was modeled after the University of California, Berkeley's Greek theater.
What happened to it?
There was a fire that burned most of it, but it is apparently still there. Remnants are still there of the amphitheater.
Wow. So it's our Pompeii or something? Or not our Pompeii, but you know what I mean?
Right.
This is artifacts in Shively Park.
Yes, there are many artifacts, so we hope that folks feel interested enough to come out, and hopefully they can do a little searching around.
For the centennial, I know there were so many events, and I've seen some photographs, and then these things went away. There was the fire, and the zoo is now gone, obviously. What is there at Shively Park right now, and what is its main usage?
So right now, the fort replica is obviously gone, and there is a community hall that you can still rent out, which has a full kitchen, which a lot of people tend to get married at Shively. If you go through a trail back beyond the community hall, there is a gorgeous clear area that has shrubs sort of lining a natural walkway where a lot of folks get married. And there are picnic shelters there as well and a swing set. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done to get it to the point where people really come back and utilize it in the way that these folks who built the park initially would want us to use it.
It's a really almost a little tucked away jewel. A lot of people really don't. I mean, people interact with the Riverwalk. It's right there. Or some of the other parks, you see them. But this one is really tucked away.
It's like almost like a secret garden, practically. And hopefully we can restore it to somewhat of its natural beauty.
What is going to happen then on Sunday, July 13th from 1 to 4 p.m.? I know that you, as volunteer coordinator, you've been part of this brand new chip-in program. And explain about the chip-in program a teeny bit.
Sure. So chip-in is just 4 months old, and we've received a lot of enthusiasm from the community. Where we go around usually every month to clean up parks, but a lot of folks don't know that even if you can't attend these park cleanups every month, you have an opportunity if you want to have your church organization, any other organization.
Your company.
Exactly. Your company, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts can pick a day, pick a park, and help us clean. And that's what the chip-in program is for.
CHIP-IN stands for?
It stands for Citizens Helping Improve Parks.
And you've already done one at Tapiola?
Yes.
And haven't you? You've done a couple, right?
Yes, we've done Children's Park, which is behind McDonald's. That was our first one, Tapiola. And then we cleaned up Fred Lindstrom Memorial Park.
But Shively, this is the one. I mean, if you have not been part of the CHIP-IN program, you don't need to register. You don't need to do anything. You just need to show up at Shively Park. Maybe we should tell people where it is.
Yeah. Well, the address is 1530 Shively Park. It's sort of behind Coxcomb Hill, off of Williamsport Road, behind the old reservoir. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun when we do this, even though it's a lot of manual labor. We'll be doing weed whacking and trail work. We'll be painting the picnic shelters, which are actually the original picnic shelters built in 1911.
You're going to be part of history if you come to the Shively Park.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Norma Hernandez, she's the park board chair. She requires that we play Shakira and other lively music. So yeah, we try to have a really good time at these events.
And you want people to wear long pants and closed-toe shoes?
Yes, we prefer that, since we will be removing a lot of English ivy, which I hear can cause some sort of allergic reaction to folks if they're not properly clothed.
However, if you come to the Shively Park cleanup on this Sunday from 1 to 4, you will receive a pair of complimentary leather gloves to work with.
Yes.
As well as your chip-in T-shirt and you'd like, and then you will be, you know, pulling off ivy, doing work on trails, painting the old picnic shelters. And then would you like people to bring certain things? And there's also going to be there are refreshments.
Yes, we'll have snacks and we'll have water available for folks, since it will probably be a pretty warm day.
Do you want them to bring weed whackers?
Yes, or yes. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, if you have some, what, gardening tools kind of thing? Or
if
what?
Folks feel comfortable utilizing weed whackers, we'll have some, but we probably don't have enough for folks. So if you can bring your own weed whacker, hand trowels, what have you, to help pull some weeds and loppers as well to cut
okay,
down some trees.
Great. So I know there are some people who don't maybe, who live in town and maybe don't have the ability to garden. And this is a great opportunity for you to go out and you can be part of the pruning and, you know, team or the painting team here. Again, I just think it's such a wonderful thing because here's a way that you get some healthy exercise. It's good for your body, for your mind and spirit to be out in that beautiful place. And you're also being of community service.
That's right. It's so fantastic to see the community coming together. We have Western Oregon Waste donating a large bin to remove yard debris. North Coast Construction is going to have a crew of folks out helping us replace boards on the picnic shelters. And actually, Clatsop Community College, their Upward Bound students will be showing up. So it's really reinvigorating to get to know your neighbors in a way that we haven't done in a while.
Yes. I think going back to some of those, you know, whether it's the potlucks, the community, getting together and doing these things, there's a benefit to everyone that you don't realize until you do it.
Right. It's a, you know, as a parent, you want to feel like your children are in a safe community. And I feel like the way that you get there is by getting to know everyone and getting to know your neighbors. And there's no better way to do that than by cleaning up
parks.
That's
right. And you can bring your hats, your sunscreen, your own snacks. I mean, there will be things there. Any last thing that you'd like to say, Janice, about the Shively Park cleanup this Sunday from 1 to 4?
Other than, you know, bring a smile, bring your positive attitude. We would love to see you there. Even if you can't stay for the whole time, that's fine. But we would love to have any able-bodied person there.
Okay. Well, this is important. We need a really big turnout for this one.
Absolutely.
And it's only a 3-hour time period. And even if you can only come for an hour or whatever, come and bring your, you know, the kids are out of school, bring your family and just come in for, you know, and do whatever you can. I think it would be a very rewarding experience.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Janice, for organizing this.
Yeah,
thank you. That chip-in program is just excellent. And we'll do a reminder at the end of the program about this as well. So this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., that's Sunday, July 13th, at Shively Park, a jewel here on the North Coast, and your opportunity to get out there with some pruning shears and your weed whacker or whatever and help out. Thank you so much, Janice.
Thank you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we have a split show. We've been talking about with Janice Galizio of Astoria Parks and Recreation about the Shively Park cleanup, a great opportunity to have a family outing and do something good for the community this Sunday. And now we are going to be talking with Robert McClelland. He is the Clatsop Community College Director of Talent Search and Upward Bound, and also Denise Loffman. She is the director of CREST, and she's a speaker at the first ever A Tribute to the Columbia River event. The college is putting this on in Columbia Hall Friday, July 18th from 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, July 19th from 9 to 11 p.m. And so we'll find out how this all started. But first, hi, Robert McClelland.
Good morning.
Nice to see you here today.
Good to see you.
And hello, Denise Loffman of CREST.
Good morning.
Tell us a teeny bit about yourself, Robert, before we start talking about this first ever, hopefully annual event.
My wife and I, Charlotte, moved here to Astoria in 2010 from Haifa, Israel. And we really love it here every week. Charlotte tells me at least once she loves it here, and I can see why. It's just a great place to live.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you for your contribution, too, because, see, that's it. People jump in and start doing interesting things here, and that's what makes this such a vibrant place. I mean, what would we do without, you know, the volunteers we all have? And Denise, please tell us about yourself.
I moved to the Oregon coast about 10 years ago, and during those 10 years, I've worked in watershed restoration work, both down in Tillamook on the Tillamook Bay and now on the Columbia River with CREST.
Okay, and if for those people who don't know, we have so many. Okay, what is CREST?
CREST is the long name is the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force. And we're a council of governments, and we were created in the mid-70s by the governments, the local governments surrounding the mouth of the Columbia River on both the Washington and Oregon side. And there was a sense that there wasn't enough information about the river in order to really do appropriate land use planning. And so we assist local governments still with land use planning, specifically around natural resources, and then we do habitat restoration for salmon.
Right. So you have a staff of biologists and
yes.
Yes. Excellent. And you're located right here in Astoria.
We are.
Okay. All right. Robert, how did this Tribute to the Columbia River event, how was that inspired? How did that happen?
Well, up at the college, we were thinking about things that we could do in the summertime to expand the programs that we offer to the community. And I thought that this Tribute to the Columbia River would be a nice start of an annual series of events looking at the Columbia River, our relationship to the river. The river is really like a symbol, an icon for this whole Northwest region, and that we're all either directly or indirectly affected by the river itself or the estuary. We derive sustenance from the river, and we need to start thinking about our relationship to it. How do we contribute to continuing to ensure that it's maintained and the restoration of the river and so on? So it's a great time to think about how has the river changed over time in terms of its geography, but also in terms of the economics of the river and where do we see it going.
Exactly. I mean, the river is, as we were talking about, I mean, Astoria is full of characters. Well, the whole Pacific Coast and this lower Columbia region, Columbia Pacific region, and the river is a major character. I mean, the river it defines this area, really. And so what we know about that river is vital if we're trying to be a neighbor, if we're trying to understand where we live and what's around us, whether it's the flora and fauna or whether it's what swims in this river, what lives in this river, what's coming through. I mean, Joanne's ship report tells us about the ships that are coming on the river, that obviously there's commerce and trade. So this is an idea that was born out of let's learn more about our neighbor, the Columbia River. So what's happening then? What's going to happen? Who are the speakers? And let's talk about the events.
Okay, on Friday the 18th, we'll have three featured speakers. Captain Robert Johnson, he's a bar pilot with the association here, and we will expect him to talk about the history of the association, what it's like to be a bar pilot, how does one become a bar pilot. And since he's been bringing the ships over the bar, he has an understanding of where all of these ships are coming from, where are they going, and how has that changed over time, and what might he expect in terms of in the future,
all this
commerce coming through this area.
He knows the river in a way we cannot even imagine, I know. Okay, and then you have two other speakers.
Two other speakers, Irene Martin, she's a prolific writer. She's, you may have heard of her Bumblebee, Flight of the Bumblebee, and that's looking at the canneries. She's going to be giving a fish story about the river in terms of the perspective of the fish, but also of the people in the river. How have we interacted? And what have been the fish in the river in this area in the past? What are we seeing there now? And she'll share artifacts and other items to basically tell us a story. Katie Barber is a professor of history at Portland State. She's going to be looking at the construction of the Dalles Dam upriver and its impact upon the river up there, as well as down here, and both in a very positive changes and also some of the unintended consequences, so to speak, of putting the dams on the river.
Wow.
So that would be Friday.
Friday night. So yeah. Friday night, and there's a dinner first. And I mean, this is kind of amazing. It's only $10 to go to this conference, I mean, on per day. So $10 to go and hear these three speakers. And if you want to do a dinner, you're doing a dinner at 6 p.m.
Yes, and a
Columbia
dinner
Hall.
Would be the additional cost beyond the $10.
Okay, the dinner's $15. Okay.
So if you want a really nice dinner, come on Friday. And we have vegetarian as well as carnivorous. food items.
Okay, all right. Well, I would, since this is about the river, I wonder if there will be fish. We don't know. We'll have to find out.
Well, we have Astoria Coffee House will be catering.
Okay. So Astoria Coffee House is catering a dinner, which begins at 6 p.m. on Friday, July 18th, and that's at Columbia Hall as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then at 7 p.m., these wonderful speakers, and there'll, I'm sure, be some interaction and questions and things. And again, this is the first ever. I just absolutely see this growing and becoming a major event because this river affects all of us. I mean, we are here in the estuary, in this Astoria area. We're in the estuary, but the river's 1,100 miles long, and wow, so many stories about the river. And then on Saturday, Denise, you are the first speaker on Saturday. Saturday morning, it's from 9 to 11. There's a breakfast, though, first at 8 a.m., and that's also the Astoria Coffee House is catering that?
Yes.
Okay. So at 8 a.m., there's a breakfast. And then tell us, Denise, what you're going to be focusing on.
Well, because of Crest's work, I'm going to focus on the habitat restoration that's occurring primarily in the estuary. In order to give that some context, I want to talk about the federal biological opinion, which is it's a court case that was brought because of the dams. And so in order to mitigate some of the impact of the dams, we have 13 endangered fish species on the river. And so in order to mitigate some of the impacts, different organizations like Crest are doing habitat restoration in the estuary. And so I'm going to talk about that. And then I thought it would be interesting to also talk a little bit about the Columbia River Treaty, which is between the United States and Canada. And we are... over the next 10 years, we're going to be in the process as a country of renegotiating that treaty with Canada. And so I thought it would be interesting to talk about that. You know, we're at the mouth, right at the very end, but we're part of this much longer bioregion. And so I think talking about the treaty and the impacts of that across the region could be interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't have even thought, oh, treaty, it's time to renew the treaty. Okay. Renegotiate it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I guess you do renegotiate treaties because things change.
That's right.
So, and how often does that typically happen?
Well, the first treaty was put in place in 1964, I believe, and with a lifetime until 2024. But both countries had to basically notify each other that they wanted to renegotiate in 2014. So both Canada and the United States have been going through domestic processes, looking at what, as countries, what do we want? And now everything's at the State Department.
Okay. Wow. Okay. You can learn so much at this. We're not really calling it as a conference. It's really kind of it's an event. What are you calling it, Robert?
I use the word event more than conference.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say event. Okay. What a great. You can be part of history here and come to this first event, and then also on Saturday morning you have Chris Clutterbuck.
Yes, he's from the National Park Service. He'll be giving us some information about what this estuary looked like back when Lewis and Clark were here, as well as some of the projects that the National Park Service is doing to restore the estuary. So that would be very interesting to hear.
Yes. I mean, really, it behooves us to know a lot about this powerful, important neighbor, which defines this area. This is a huge force in our lives. And to have an event like this, I think I can just see this growing and getting, you know, the tribal folks involved and having poets and artists. And but what a terrific thing that you've pulled together this very first ever event. Happening on Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th. And I'm thinking that a lot of people are going to find out things that they had no idea about. And that should be, it could be of interest to everyone up and down this, you know, this whole corridor. I mean, and on the Washington side, it's not just Astoria. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about it. I know sometimes people think, oh, we're Astoria-centric here. However, it's truly, we're all part of this whole lower Columbia region. What are some other things that you would like folks to know about this event? Because we just have a few minutes left.
Okay. Just going back to the cost so that everybody's clear. If you just come and listen to the speakers, and we'll have dialogue at the end of each of the sessions as well, it's just going to cost you $10. Mm-hmm. But if you want the meal in addition to the session, then you just bring $25.
But it would be helpful to register, though, in advance. Now, you can register, you can call Robert. I mean, people will just show up, too, right?
They could, but with regard to the meal, we need to know ahead of time so we can have enough
so
for them.
So if you want to have dinner on Friday, July 18th at 6 p.m. at Columbia Hall before the tribute to the Columbia River speakers, or breakfast on Saturday night, the 19th at 8 a.m., you need to probably call Robert or get in touch with Classic Community College. Let's give your number, Robert.
Okay, the easiest thing for people to do at this point, I think, is call me directly. My cell phone, 503-894-0187.
Okay, so if you are interested in coming and in eating a meal or coming to this event, you can call Robert McClelland, 503-894-0187. I will leave a flyer here at the radio station. If you're driving in your car and you say, I want to go to the tribute to the Columbia River, I don't remember the number. So just call KMUN right here. And we will give you that number. And you can also go to the Classic Community College website. And if you even probably just Google Tribute, Columbia River, Classic Community College, you know how you do that. Google it. You'll get there. You will get to registration. Because it's helpful to know, especially if you're going to eat, that you need to let people know that. What else? Anything else you want to say, Denise?
I'm just going to echo what you said, which is there's the speakers. I think the other three speakers who are coming are bringing a real wealth of knowledge. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of great information from different perspectives of the river, which, kind of gives you a broader perspective rather than just looking out the window and being like, wow, there's a lot of water, but there's all this history and information and so much happening on the river.
That we don't see.
That's right.
That we don't know about.
That's right, yeah.
So what a great opportunity to not only educate yourself, but I would think that hopefully the media folks will come and they will learn, because the big overview, so important. That's one reason why I love that. Have you seen the publication The Week? The Week kind of gives you an overview. I think it's from England, and it gives you a perspective on what's happened in the world. This perspective, a tribute to the Columbia River, very important. Thank you so much for organizing that. So let's see, Janice, I want to go back and just give you another minute here to remind people what's happening on Sunday, this Sunday, July 13th at Shively Park.
We are having our chip-in party at Shively Park. Come and bring the whole family and your friends, and we will have a great time. I also real quick want to say that I hope that you all enjoy the tribute to the Columbia River and that you feel inspired. Our next chip-in will actually be on the Riverwalk. We're working with Northwest Watershed Council, and that will be Saturday, August 23rd.
Oh, perfect. See, it all works together.
It does. Doesn't
it? It really does. And any last thing you'd like to say, Robert, about the a tribute to the Columbia River?
We're so excited to have this event and excited also to do it in the future as well. I think each year we'll take a different perspective on the river, provide different information. And if people have some great ideas about what they would like to see, again, give me a call so we can start planning this for next year.
Absolutely. Be part of this and come to the tribute and then help create the next tribute to the Columbia River. Thank you all so much for all the important work you are doing. Thank you, Kathleen Morgain, for your engineering this morning. And also a shout out to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Right now, take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things that are working in your life. There will always be things that aren't, but there are many things that are going well. Focus on those things, on feeling good, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.